William Ide. I was born on the 21st of October 1949, and I was born in Portsmouth, Hampshire.
Great, thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about your early life, your family background, a bit about before you came to Blue Coast?
I was born in Portsmouth, and I spent the first probably 8 years of my life in a little village called Portchester, which is just outside Portsmouth. We moved to Liverpool when I was about 8 years old because my mother didn't keep terribly well, and it was thought that she would do better if she was amongst her family, who all came from Liverpool. So we moved to Liverpool, and I went to I spent the rest of my primary education in at Booker Avenue County Primary School.
And did you have siblings at all?
No, I'm an only child.
Ah, right, okay. And how did you end up coming to the Blue Coast then?
This was as a result of the 11 plus examination. It was an examination that was sat in the last year of primary school, and its aim, as it was, to identify pupils who were of a sort of academic bent, who might do better in a grammar school, and consign the rest of the pupils to sort of secondary modern education. Some authorities run a 13 plus examination, at which there was an opportunity to redress the balance.
Yeah.
But what happened is your parents were invited to list the sort of schools to which they wanted you, they wanted their son or daughter to go to in the event of success in this examination. I have no idea. The Blue Coat was one of the schools that my parents chose. I have no idea whether they ranked the school in any particular order, if any pitch the individual schools made to individual parents. There were a number of other secondary schools in Liverpool to which I couldn't have gone, I suppose, such as the Holt, Quarry Bank, Childwall High School, the Institute of the Collegiate, or something like that. But either way, I found myself allocated at the Blue Coat School.
So do you remember your interview?
I wasn't interviewed at all, no.
Do you remember when you first arrived then? How was there a bit of a culture shock for you, or did you settle in well?
I can't remember being dismayed by any, being particularly dismayed. Obviously, you say it was a novel experience, I can't remember being the victim of any particularly dastardly pranks or anything like that by any of the older pupils.
Mm. Were you a day student, Chris?
I was, yes.
So how many people were in the school at that time? So it got a lot bigger than...
There would probably be around about 500, I suppose.
Right, okay. So less than half it is now, of course.
That's right, yes.
And what are your most vivid memories? What were the good things and the bad things about the school?
My memories, as I say, are predominantly good memories, I think, by and large. I was very happy at the school. It would be mistaken on me to say that I was every day was what was filled full of orgasmic ecstasy. I enjoyed my time at the school.
What were the things you excelled at? What did you like at the school?
I liked. I think that I only really started to take an interest in the sort of academic side of things once I got into third year, and we decided that we wanted to go to I wanted to study medicine, and my O level choices were fairly well defined.
Yeah.
I remember Fred Unwin tapping out on the blackboard, like physics, chemistry, biology, science subjects,
yeah.
and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
We received, I think, very little careers guidance.
Yeah.
I remember someone coming along and telling us that if we joined a public sector organisation, the pay wasn't likely to be so good, but terms and conditions of service were better insofar as there was a comfortable pension associated with the job and possibly better sick pay, and that was just about it.
So what made you decide on medicine? Was your father or mother involved in medical matters, or was it just something that popped into your head?
I'm not terribly sure. It's also long ago now. My father, my mother was a VAD nurse in the war, but she didn't tend to sort of harp on a great deal about the sort of about the sort of caring aspects of it. I heard more about the sort of pranks that that she and the other nurses and some of the junior medical staff got up to. I also toyed with being a submarine commander, but my parents got rather fed up with me using the dustbin as my conning tower.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a compositor. He worked for the Daily Post and Echo.
Really, my former employers, yeah.
What he did in the days of hot metal,
yeah.
Used to set up the pages.
One of those skills which was so important at the time has now just disappeared entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. It quite fascinates me to say that I have on my PC a sort of huge range of fonts and.
Yeah.
And various typefaces, the sort of thing that that my father learned over a sort of 5-year apprenticeship.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
So you came down to the celebratory concert to unveil the restored Willis Organ in Chirley Hall. So was music a big part of your time at school?
Oh yes, I can remember we took one Christmas. In first year, I think it was, we did Neues Flood.
Yes.
Second year, we did the St. Nicholas Cantata. Another year, we did a concert of medieval and European carols, and we did Bach's Christmas Oratorio twice.
This is quite ambitious stuff.
Yes.
Who was the music master at that time?
There was Mr. Price and there was Mr. Pinder.
Oh yes, yes. Jim Pinder, is that right? So he seems to be quite well remembered.
Yes.
Still plenty of people around who recall him. So was music your main outlet, would you say, creatively?
I think so. Yes. I enjoy a very, very wide range of music.
Right. Did you play any particular instrument, or were you singing? What was your
I suppose that you could say that I brayed rather than sung.
Oh, really?
I enjoy being in a choir.
Yeah.
I played the piano indifferently,
yeah.
But not to public standards.
Mm-hmm. So, who was head teacher at that time?
Chas, Mr. Watkin.
So we've heard from several people this morning about him, so he was quite a sort of imposing presence when he appeared.
Yes, that's right, yes. Yes.
But what did you think of the standard of teaching at the time?
Shall we say that it suited me?
What do you mean by that?
It got me to where I wanted to be,
yeah.
Shall we say. I mean, I've no idea how it compared with teaching in other schools.
No.
I mean, some teachers were more popular than others, I suppose. But
yeah. And would you describe it as a friendly place at the time? Well, I mean, was it a convivial atmosphere?
I think so. Yes. I mean, I don't have any sort of strong memories of bullying or anything like that. The only teacher I was possibly afraid of was Mr. Moore, who taught maths.
Yes. And was that just because of his presence, or was he a bit of a tartar?
He was a bit of a tartar. I remember that he took three of us out in sort of one fell swoop on one occasion. He aimed a kick at someone's shoe and flung a book at somebody else and crashed his fist down on the and crashed his fist down on my desk.
Quite an achievement. Again, like your father's job, teaching has also changed a great deal.
Yeah. That's right. Yes.
So, having made up your mind to go to medical school, did you get much help from the school? I mean, were your talents channeled in that direction?
I suppose so. I have a testimonial that Mr. Watkin wrote for me, and if he'd said anything like that on my UCAS form to apply to university, then I suppose that must have been quite a considerable help.
Yes, yes. So where did you go to read medicine?
Dundee.
Dundee.
Yes.
And you're still living in Scotland now, is that the case?
Oh yes, that's right. Yes. I'm living just south of Glasgow.
Right, okay. So has all your career been spent in Scotland then?
Not entirely, no. I spent 5 years in Germany. And then the best part of 2 years I did local work in the Middle East.
Yeah. So what area do you specialise in then?
I'm a semi-retired consultant physician in occupational medicine.
Right, I see. And do you think your blue coat years sort of set you up character-wise at all?
I think so, yes. I'm very proud of having gone
status at the time, did you say?
I would say yes, no, and maybe.
Yeah.
The Blue Coat, I think, was one of perhaps about half a dozen good schools in Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think that it was the arrival of Mr. Arnold Craft, of whom I had no sort of experience whatsoever, I think who sort of transformed the school.
Yes, so we seem to have learned. It seems to be a name that keeps cropping up again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So had you left by the time Arnold Craft came?
Yes, that's right. I was at the Blue Coat between September 1961 and July 1968.
Right, okay, yeah.
And that was the same year that Mr. Watkin retired.
Yes, that was, of course, that Arnold Craft arrived just then.
Yeah.
Because I believe he did shake the place up a little bit. Did they still have Sunday services and that kind of thing at the school? Was that something that involved the day pupils, or was that
not really, no. I think was the province of the boarding school.
Yeah. Was there much mixing between the boarding and the day school?
In day days or class activities, yes. There wasn't a great deal of out of school mixing. I can never remember boarding pupils were allowed to visit day school pupils' homes, for example.
Right, okay, yeah, so it's quite regimented then from that point.
Yes.
Because we also heard that boarders were very restricted where they could go as well. I suppose as a day person, you could come and go as you wished, in and out of school.
Yes, that's probably right, yes.
Where was the family living at this time?
We lived in Homefield Road in Aigburth.
Well, that's been absolutely great. So anything else, Chris, or do you think we've covered all bases?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it, unless there's anything else that you'd really like to have recorded, Chris. Do you have anything?
Well, let me see. You're asking me about my primary school education.
Yeah.
I still have four of my primary school reports.
Yeah.
And in three of them I'm listed as being one of the class of 39, and in one of a class of 42.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those were primary school reports, of course.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, if you've got any blue coat memorabilia that you would like to pass on, we'd bear it in mind because we're trying to build up the archive.
Right.
So that'd be helpful. I don't know if we've got anything, but certainly drop us a line if you have.
I don't think that I've got anything hugely exciting from that point of view.
No. Funny, several people have mentioned Noy's Blood.
Yes.
That's Benjamin Britten's opera, isn't it? And,
that's right, yes.
It was written for children anyway. But we've got a couple of the programmes still in the archive.
Right, yes.
Which is very bitty, but that sticks in my mind because, of course, the way it's spelled. So it's quite interesting that a couple of people have mentioned that. Anyway, thanks very much indeed, Chris.
Okay,
that's
no problem.
That's very useful.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
All the best.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye-bye. Nice to speak to you both.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.